Turn with me, friends, to the passage that we read, to chapter 7, sorry, chapter 8 of Mark's Gospel, I think, yes, and we read there in verse 29. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answered and said to him, Thou art the Christ. Tonight we'll especially be basing our thoughts on the wonderful miracle of the man who was delivered from deafness and dumbness. And we believe that this whole incident is an illustration to us of the work of Christ as our mediator. Here he illustrates, not for the people of the time, because they were told not to broadcast the incident, but for the subsequent Church of God, just who Christ is in his work for us. This is hinted at on the position, the place, and where he is doing this. It's difficult to decide where he is at this moment. It's as if he's on the boundaries of several distant places. He's between places. And that, in a sense, illustrates the place that Christ has, that he is between heaven and earth. He's between his people and his Father. He has come in between and does his marvelous work in that place. And in that place, he finds certain people. I wonder if he has found you, or have you found him? Have you found this glorious mediator as the one whom you need above all other requirements? If you don't have Christ as your mediator, all your other concerns are of no matter. They are worthless. They're pointless. So at this place of between, Christ encounters someone who needs help. He's in that place to give help. And so if you're someone tonight who needs help, who needs spiritual help, is there anyone here who does not need any spiritual help? Then this will not help. This will be a waste of time. But if you are one of these people that needs help, then this is for you. And very often we need someone to help us to come to Christ. The Lord uses the preaching of the word, and may it be that perhaps something that is said here tonight is going to be the means of bringing you face to face with your helper, the Lord Jesus. They bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. These people had just heard rumors about this marvelous wonder worker, and it made them think about this person who was among them. Can you imagine what it was like to be like this, deaf, so you didn't know what all the world was saying around you? You couldn't hear what you needed to hear. if you were being warned of danger, or if there was a place where you could go for food, or so on. Some people these days are always looking up their computers to see what offers are coming up, and they'll rush to the online sales and order this and order that, because they know how to find these means of meeting their needs. But here is someone who had no way of even knowing that Jesus was around. The very one that he needed, he didn't have means of recognizing, because nobody could tell him. Even blind Bartimaeus, when he asked and heard that it was Jesus, he was able to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me." This poor man couldn't do that. Imagine if that was your situation. Or imagine if you couldn't speak. He couldn't ask anyone where he could find what he needed. If he was lost, he couldn't tell them where he belonged, where his home was. What a massive disability this man had. But my friend, that's your disability. Spiritually, we are deaf. We can't hear the gospel even. I remember the son of a minister, late minister of the Free Church in Stornoway, who said to me, "I never heard my father preaching. It's only after he died I began to hear the gospel." He'd listened to hundreds of sermons. He'd never heard the gospel with the hearing ear and understanding heart. Neither can you, unless the mediator takes initiative and does a miracle, friend. A miracle has to happen by this wonder worker. A wonderful thing that opens your ears. You can't speak of Jesus to others. How often do you talk about the Lord? Isn't that one of our big failings? We're not talking enough about Christ. How often did we mention his name in the week that's passed? It's as if we've an impediment in our speech. It's as if we can't get the words out. We can't say to others. You hardly dare mention the name of Jesus these days. It's as if we've got halting speech, an impediment. And Christ needs to open our lips. We need to pray, "Lord, open my eyes, open my lips to praise you." Yes, this is the work, friends, of the mediator. But how did he do this work? Well, he didn't do it with a blaze of publicity, as if it was some kind of stunt. This is what everyone wants to do these days. They want to get into the limelight. They want to get onto the media. They want attention from the world. They want to be celebrities. That was never the way that Jesus worked. Because here he was in his humiliation, disguising and camouflaging who he was. And so to do this astonishing and remarkable work, he had to take this man aside from the multitude. So this work was all done secretly, away from prying eyes. That's the way Jesus works, friends. He meets you on your own. You'll find that Jesus is going to take you aside, and he's going to meet you on a one-to-one basis, and he's going to work this miracle in you. How does he do it? Well, we read, he put his fingers into his ears. And just look at this first of all. What fingers? What fingers are these? Didn't we just read and sing in Psalm 8 about the heavens and how they were created, and the stars and all the works and wonders of creation? When I look up into the heavens which thine own fingers framed. So look up at the marvels and astonishing things that are being discovered by our astronomers these days. And they've been there for all these thousands of years in their glory, scattered there and placed there in all their order and beauty and balance and perfection by the fingers of the Mediator. It's these fingers that were inserted in this poor sinner's ears. These powerful fingers, the finger of God, was placed in his ears. Have you experienced that, friends? Have you experienced a moment when all that seemed senseless to you suddenly took on a whole significance, and every word that was preached and that you read became alive with intense interest and blessing and power for you, because the finger of the Mediator had reached and touched your ears? That's what he does. That's what he does with these fingers. And it's a work just as glorious as the galaxies around, that work that he does in a poor, broken, deaf, heedless sinner. And he's telling us about it tonight, because he's still at work. His fingers are still reaching out and opening deaf ears like yours. What fingers? And then what transmission, I can maybe call it. What a wonderful process now took place. We're told that he spit and touched the man's tongue. He spit onto his fingers and then reached out with that spit and touched the tongue. So there was something conveyed from his tongue to that man's tongue. Over in Transcribe, where we were missionaries for some time, there was a small state, an area allocated by the South African government to the government of the Xhosa people, where Mandela came from. And there was a family that came to prominence there. They were called the Matanzimas. Now, the Matanzima, the word Matanzima, and these people began to rule the whole tribe of the Xhosa people. And the word Matanza means heavy spit. That was the name they had. And if you use your imagination, you can realize what they meant. It meant these were people of powerful address, of powerful speech. And the Xhosas knew all about speaking. They were very eloquent, rhetorical people, and they could all stand up and preach at a moment's notice. They were great speakers, but these were the people that stood head and shoulders above the others in their eloquence, the men of heavy spit. And so Christ is using this. Remember, he is here unfolding, revealing that it is by the power of his tongue that he gives us a power to confess him. So how was it that we came to the words of our text? How was it that when Jesus asked everyone about what everyone was saying about him, nobody could say? But Peter gave this wonderful confession: thou art the Christ. What was he saying? He says, you are the Mediator. That's what he was saying. The Christ is the appointed mediator between God and men. Peter had been watching. Peter had been understanding gradually until at length there at Caesarea Philippi, at last, he was able to speak the word which identified this man as the mighty mediator between God and men, a man appointed from all eternity to make peace between God and men and to reach with the power of the voice that said, "Let there be light." That voice gave this deaf man, this tongue of this day, gave this speech, opened the tongue of this man. Friends, let's pray for this. Let's ask the Lord to give us a voice and transfer to us some of the eloquence that created the world, that our tongues will in turn do great things, influence, change, reveal Christ to our neighbors, to our families, to the world. That's what the church was made for. It was made to be a witness. You are my witnesses to the ends of the earth. It's an impossible work, except that Christ touched the apostles' tongues so that they spoke forth with power that could not be gainsaid or contradicted. Isn't that what we need today? People of such ascendancy, such eloquence, that the world will be silent. All the false, arrogant speeches of deniers of the truth will have their mouth stopped because they cannot but hear the word that we speak. There was not only this transmission, but there was a look. What a finger, what a transmission. What a look is here in verse 34. And looking up to heaven. You see what he's doing here? Can you imagine him looking up and seeing his Father far above him there, and he down, anchored in humiliation as he continues his work of obedience, anchored to the earth, but able to get a sight of his Father above, so that he can draw from his Father that inspiration, that vision of the glory that was his home, and so receive strength to continue to perform what was needed. And so here he is, receiving that light and sympathy and authority from heaven to conduct this wonderful work of mediation here at ground level as he mingled and sat with sinners and his people here. And so what a look up to heaven. And do you know what it's like when you see somebody staring upwards? Everyone else begins to look up. It might be an aeroplane, or it might be a star, or it may be something in the heavens, but if it's infectious, if one looks up, then others will look up. And so we're asked to set our affections on things above. You know the story of Samuel Rutherford down in Anworth, where I'm now able to witness these days. And a stranger had heard of him and came into the vicinity and said to one of the locals, "I'm looking for Mr. Rutherford. How can I find him?" And this was the answer: "Look for a little fair man looking up to heaven." was identified by this, that his gaze was always upward. Could you be identified in that way, in any manner? Are you coming close to seeing Jesus looking up? As the angel said to the men, the apostles, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Shouldn't there be more of that among us?" Because our mediator, who was here with us, has ascended up there, and he's looking down as he once looked up, because he is the one between us and the Father. And he's gone there for us, to represent us. But he didn't only look up, friends. And I want to touch for a short time on what we could call at the door. He was on the boundaries. He was in private, coming aside. And then I want you to see him at the door. He was at the door of this man's soul. Jesus was there outside this man, but he was seeking an entry into that man's soul. And he was opening a door. Have you felt Christ doing that for you? Have you felt Christ come near to you? Do you feel him even now, perhaps? He's there at the door. He's seeking an entry to you. Listen to what he is doing. He has looked up to heaven, and then he sighs. You know, that word really means he groaned. He groaned. Have you heard the groans of the Savior? Have you heard him? He groaned at the grave of Lazarus. Because there he knew that to be mediator, he had to take on his own body the pains of death and the power of death if he was to set Lazarus free. And so he groaned as he looked up to heaven. But we read also that he groaned here. And we find that when he met the Pharisees, and they asked him to show them a sign, that he groaned, he sighed. What makes the Savior sigh? My friends, it's our hearts of unbelief. It's this persistent refusal to believe. You see how through the next chapter we read, how he's pressing the disciples to listen, to take in, to understand. How is it, he says, that you don't understand? How is it that you don't remember? It's the plague of unbelief. And we live in a culture today of unbelief. And we have to fight and battle against this constant temptation to doubt, to question, to hesitate, and it causes grief to the Holy Spirit. How do we overcome? Well, Jesus relieved this man by his groans, because that groan is the Spirit in him interceding for you. As it says in Romans chapter 8, that the Spirit intercedeth for us with groans which cannot be uttered. And so the one who is the Word was speechless because of our unbelief. But even when he was speechless, he groaned. His prayer turned into a groan, and it became a powerful in prayer, wordless prayer, that brought power to that man. he groaned and said to them, Ephrata! And it was opened. Everything, every barrier broke down. Every doubt was banished under the authority of that voice that spoke. Friends, that's what happens when the great mediator speaks with a voice that breaks through all our unbelief and claims us. Straightway his ears were opened, the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake. And so he entered into that man. Has he entered in this way? Is he entering in now? The work was complete. He always completes his work, doesn't he? There on the cross, as our mediator, he went through all the pangs and pains and punishments and chastisements, grief and sorrow, desolation and darkness that you and I deserve, until it was all endured. And as the mediator, he had completely reconciled God and man, God and sinners reconciled. Look at your Savior, friends. He's revealed for us. He was hidden from these people of Decapolis. But tonight, don't you see him? Don't you feel him? Don't you feel his touch on your soul? When this work was done, and in closing we can say this, then ask, what have we heard? This is the witness of those who were there. He hath done all things well. When he works in us, his work is good. Aren't we all here tonight witnessing to the fact, I have experienced the goodness of the Lord. The Lord has changed me from what I was. The work is not complete, but what he has done, he has done perfectly. He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. We're told that this man spoke plainly. He spoke plainly. That means it was perfectly clear. He was able to speak with crystal clear understanding, because he had experienced Christ himself. Can you go forth tonight with such a clear understanding that you can say plainly, this is my Lord, this is my God, this is my Messiah, this is my mediator, this is my Melchizedek, this is my Savior and Lord. Let us pray.